When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, the scripture never says what she heard, but I'm quite sure just from looking at it that she heard something about who he was, what's been going on, what happens when he comes to towns, all the people talking. Have you heard this guy, Jesus? Have you heard this carpenter, Jesus, and what he's done? He went to this city, and it went on and on, and she heard about him. Is that right?
Yes.
So later on, we see in the writings in Romans when it says faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
Word of God.
So if it's by the word of God, and John says in the beginning was the what?
Word.
And that word became flesh, and we called him who?
Jesus.
Come on, you got to see this. So we called him who?
Jesus.
So she's looking at the word in the flesh, but the word is still in the beginning. Are you seeing this? So watch. So she has facts all in her. She has facts going on in her. She's getting worse. She's getting worse. I hear about Jesus. Now watch. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. We talked about that because of her cycle. She could not be in certain places because she had to wear certain clothes, and she was not allowed to be in that crowd because they would deem her as unclean. Are we clear with that? Now watch this, verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be what?
Made well.
Who said it?
She did.
And what did she say it at?
In her heart.
In her heart and in herself. In her heart. If I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now in verse 29, it says, immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Got that?
Yes.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? He did not say, who touched me?
Yeah.
Come on, you got to see this.
Yeah.
So how would he know? Watch this. How would he know who touched his clothes if he's walking forward and she's coming from behind? Come on, you got to see this. Because if he's the word, that means he's in the beginning. If he's in the beginning, that means he's everywhere. So though you see him physically walking, he's following himself.
Yes.
Come on, you got to see this. So when he's walking, he's following himself, and he's always also before him. So he's before himself, he's there, and he's also behind himself coming. And all that he's watching, her faith caused her to press through the crowd. She said in herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment. How powerful is that? Isn't that what Isaiah said? He said, in the same year King Uzziah died, he said, I looked up, and he said, I saw heaven, and he said, I saw the Lord, and the what? Train of his robe filled the temple.
Yeah.
She had enough of understanding or revelation that there's healing in his train.
Yes.
Come on, you got to see this. If I can touch his robe, he'll heal me.
Yes.
Why? Because Isaiah said it. The Messiah is supposed to heal us. Come on, that's what's written. He's the Lord's Messiah. He's Messiah. He's coming to heal us, to save us. This is the one God said he was going to send in the beginning. So my facts are here, but there's a truth that I'm holding on to. This truth is uprooting the facts. So when he comes by, truth is walking by. This is my only opportunity. Facts, get back. Here's the truth. I'm going to be healed when I touch him.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to see this. When I touch the robe, I'm going to be healed.
Amen.
And he said, wait a minute, who touched my robe? And they're like, who touched your robe? You've got to get this. Truth is aggressive. Truth is aggressive. Truth is not passive. Oh, he's coming by the Lord, he'll call me. No, no, no. Truth is, this is my opportunity. As soon as I find it in the word, this is what you said, it's mine.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Look what she said, it's right here. She said, as soon as she heard about him, he came by, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, there's enough healing in this word that if I can just get the hem of it, I'll be made whole.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I pray you get this CD and listen to it again. You got to understand something. Sometime in getting out of your facts, if you can just get the hem of the revelation, if you can just get the hem of the revelation, come on, if you can just touch the hem of the revelation, you'll be made whole. What happens is because our facts are so much there, we settle for the facts and we'll sit there another 12 years waiting for something. And it's like, no, enough's enough. As soon as he came by, she had heard of him. Have you ever heard of Jesus?
Yeah.
Come on, have you ever heard of Jesus?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that he wants to heal you?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that he loves you?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that he wants to make you whole?
Yes.
Then you've got a him.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You've got a him. You can hold on to that and know and say to yourself, when I touch the hem of this word, because all she did was touch the hem of the word.
Yes.
When she touched the hem of the truth, she was made whole. That's what you have to settle. No matter what it looks like, no matter what facts look like, there's a hem of truth that God has provided before all this happened. All I have to do is find it in the word, get there, and grab hold of it. This is not naming and claiming. This is grabbing hold in faith and stepping into it and saying, no matter what, I'm going to be healed. No matter what, I'm going to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be filled. I'm not going to settle outside anymore and trust any more facts. But our facts continue to consume us because we are more prevalent with facts than we are truth, because truth is faith.
Yes.
You have to have faith for truth.
Yes.
You have to have faith for truth. You can't just say it's true. You have to have faith and say, you know what? Because remember the story. This is just a story, but it's a true story. She said she spent everything she had and she got worse. I'm telling you, these 5-minute prayer intervals, they make a difference if it's based on truth. These 10-minute prayer intervals, they make a difference if it's based on truth. This time of just going in prayer religiously, it's all facts. And it's facts, and there's nothing in it. Your faith is relying on facts. Here's an example so you'll know. Oh, Lord, I know that I'm not saying nobody's name, okay? I know that I'm in debt, and I need your help. Lord, I'm just trusting you're going to help me in Jesus' name. Those are facts. Come on, that's a fact. What truth did you speak?
Nothing.
Nothing. And people do it forever. And they just stand there with facts. And you just attach your faith that you're going to stay in debt.
That's true.
You didn't know it, but that's what you did. Lord, I'm in debt. Isn't that what I just said? And I thank you that you're going to help me. He already helped you.
Yes, he did.
He helped you when he came and he died and he was resurrected.
Yes.
Now he's saying, go back to the truth and apply the truth so that the facts will dissipate.
Yes.
And they'll disappear. We stay with the facts because we have no revelation of the truth. So we take our faith, attach it to the fact, and we accept poverty, lack, sickness, disease, and we say, well, that's far as God wants to go. Until the facts are uprooted by the truth, because the truth has to uproot the fact because it was here first. But when the facts become more important or valuable than the truth will never be recognized, and you'll take facts as a truth. And we've done it for years. That's why you get mad at other people when you see them excelling and you're not excelling. Because they have a truth and you're still living in facts. Oh, we're almost done. Let's go. Let's go to Luke 13. Are you getting something? I say, are you getting something?
Yeah.
Is it helping you?
Yes.
Now watch this. Luke 13, 10. We're almost done. I know everybody ready to go home and eat and invite us over. We can't come to everybody's house today, so we'll take a number. And eating is not putting a bowl of cereal on the table with milk, saying, here you go, Pastor. That's not a meal. Unless it's Honey Nut Cheerios, then we'll talk later. Now watch this. In Luke 3, 10, 17, I'm not going to read it all, but I want you to see this. It says, now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. That's Jesus, right? And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. How many years?
18 years.
How many years?
18.
That's past the 12, isn't it?
Yeah.
And was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Got it? That's Luke 13, 10. Everybody there? Luke 13, 10. I'm reading out the New King James Version. Now, as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, you know the Sabbath is Saturday.
Yes.
Are we agreed with that?
Yes.
And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could not in no way raise herself up. So she was basically over and had a spirit of infirmity. Did not say she was just sick. This is why you have to be careful when people tell you what they have. Those are spirits.
Yes.
The writer is telling you, disease are spirits. They are spirits. It said this woman has a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Now watch. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, I'm going to read the whole thing. Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. How long did it take?
Immediately.
What's that word?
Immediately.
What is Jesus in the flesh?
The word.
Come on, what is he in the flesh?
The word.
The word of what? Word of God or the word of truth?
The word of
So Jesus is what? True. So what touched her?
Truth.
And when truth touched her, what happened?
She
come on, that's what he's trying to show you. Now watch. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which a man ought to work. These are religious people, okay? Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. So who is this man talking to? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Something wrong with this dude. He raised up and he get a crowd behind him. And he's telling them there are 6 days you can be healed, but don't come here on the Sabbath. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. You're 6 days, you come here for 6 days, but on the seventh we closed. We closed on the seventh. Isn't that what he said? Okay, so on Saturday, don't you come here. That's what he's telling them. Right? That's legalism. Are you listening to me? That's legalism. Legalism is facts. Are you listening? So he's talking facts. Now watch Jesus. Then the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite. He says, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to water it? So he's telling them, you're all this Pharisee. You're supposed to be leading the children of Israel. But on Saturday, your animals are in a stall. There's a gate in front of them. They can't get out. You don't want people to come get healed who are God's people, but you'll let an animal out to go get water and take care of the animal. Are you seeing that? You got to get this. There's revelation in this thing. Now you got to hold on. Watch this, the next verse. He says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of who?
Abraham.
Say the promise.
The promise.
Come on, being a daughter of what?
The promise.
Whom Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. So what he's saying is this infirmity, this spirit, has had her bent over in a stall for 18 years, and nobody would let her out. He said, but living water has shown up. And she's standing there and she's parched, and this devil has her over 18 years. And I tell her, come here. You're free from this infirmity. He laid hands on her. She stood up and they threw a fit. He said, are you kidding me? This is a daughter of Abraham. She's of the promise. I'm supposed to do this for her. I'm the promise. Come on, you got to see this. I'm the promise. That's what I came for. She's free. And I'm going to loose her from this stall, and she's free. Woo! Glory to God. He loosed her from all those facts, and she's free. That's what he's trying to do to us. Get out that stall. Take this truth and be free. Loose those infirmities off yourself. That's what he's telling you. You're a daughter, a son of Abraham. You're free. You're not of the bond servant. No. Woo. For your notes, write down Romans 8, 1 through 9. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to Mark, and we're going to get out of here. We're going to pray. Romans 8, 1 through 9. Read it. It talks about there is therefore not, no condemnation. Come on. Come on, for those that are in who?
Christ Jesus.
So he's letting you know, your guiltiness has been paid for. Your guiltiness has been paid for. Come on, those thoughts that Satan tried to throw on you about your past and the stuff you did, he said it's already been paid for. Don't sit there and listen to that devil. Come on, that's what David said. He said, my guilt, I need you to help me with it, because it's always here. It's always in my mind about what I did, my bloodshed. He said, tell you what, instead of thinking of the bloodshed, think of the blood that was shed for you. Come on, you got to see that. You got to turn this thing around. You're sitting there talking, oh, I missed this. I did this. I did. That's what the devil does. He always talks to you about your past. Yes. Always. You should have did this. You didn't do that. You missed this opportunity. You did this. He said, hold on, but there God's.
Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.